You're listening to KSKQ 89.5, Ashland, Oregon, community-supported radio. The name of the show is Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. My name is Gary Wilson. The show contains adult themes, so please be aware of that. Disclaimer time, Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle is information only. It is not medical advice. If you need medical advice, please see your doctor. The central theme of the show is how internet pornography impacts young men and the science behind it, the science behind what they're experiencing. You can visit yourbrainonporn.com for video presentations, FAQs, many articles. It's a secular website and commercial free. As we said, this program is also about the science behind what these young guys are experiencing. However, the science has yet really to catch up with what many of these young guys are reporting, such as severe social anxiety, lack of motivation, sexual dysfunctions, all sorts of other problems. Not only is it not caught up with this rapidly moving phenomenon, but as we have started to look into some of the studies, we're finding that they, in fact, are, well, I don't know what the word would be, but rather manipulative. In other words, they are designed so that they will not find any problems, no matter how much porn use. We'll get to one of those studies in a second. But there was one in the news just about a couple of weeks ago, which garnered several headlines. I think I would like to look at it first before we move on to another popular study. Now, this new Dutch study, the name of it is, Does Viewing Explain Doing? Assessing the association between sexually explicit materials, use, and sexual behaviors in a large sample of Dutch adolescents and young adults. That's a mouthful, isn't it? Now, what this did is it finds how porn use correlates with some risky sexual behaviors in 15 to 25-year-olds. And it found that it did, and other things did as well. So this wasn't particularly surprising. However, if you are a casual reader and you looked at the headlines, these rather noisy headlines, and the related quotes, you would think that porn was no problem at all. Here's one headline. The study results downplay porn's influence on teen behavior, unquote. Now notice that headline just used the term teen behavior, when in fact the study was just about a couple of sexual behaviors. Here's a few more from Time. Study: porn may not be such a bad influence on sexual behavior. Or Huffington Post: porn use impacts sexual behavior less than you might think, says study. So there's a couple of more headlines. Now, lead author Gert Martin Hald, he's a clinical psychologist at the University of Copenhagen. This is what he said about his study. Quote, pornography is not as big and bad a wolf as we thought it was, and maybe we should focus on other factors. It explains a portion of sexual behavior, but it is modest. Well, actually, porn can be a big bad wolf if it's the reason your erection isn't happening, or you're addicted, or your sexual tastes have changed over time. Here's the study's actual conclusions. Quote, the small to moderate associations that emerge between porn consumption and sexual behavior after controlling for other variables suggest that porn is just one factor among many that influence youth sexual behaviors. End quote. Okay, so the takeaway is this. Porn use can encourage certain risky sexual behaviors, but other factors can also. That's it. So I don't see how that really can be put into these big headlines that porn has no effect. Now, this finding does not tell us anything about the user's overall sexuality, such as, let's say, relationship contentment or sexual functioning or even sexual pleasure. No, it doesn't. And more important, these findings have nothing to say about the many negative symptoms that young porn users are describing, such as social anxiety or low motivation, or sexual problems like delayed ejaculation, or ED, or less attraction to real partners, or poor concentration, and on and on and on. I could list quite a few. So we decided to take an even closer look at the full study and get behind the headlines. And it actually has a lot less to recommend it than the headlines would suggest. First of all, it relied on online volunteers. That means people just went to a questionnaire site, clicked away, and answered questions. 70% of the respondents were women. And only 5% of the respondents used porn once a week or more. The study is clearly not representative, and yet that is never described in the headlines, is it? It's just a bunch of people answering questions and they're self-selecting. Now, the researchers only analyzed subjects who had engaged in sexual activities. Remember, the age group is 15 to 25. Now, that is a big problem because many of today's young male porn users are actually complaining about the inability to engage in normal sexual behavior. That's why they're experimenting with giving up internet porn. In fact, some are still virgins, which you would think because 15, 16, 17, 18, maybe they still are. And, of course, they are extremely unhappy about it, as young men generally are. So they would be excluded from the study entirely. In other words, the loud headlines that internet porn has little effect on sexual behavior creates really a false impression that sexual well-being is not being affected or impaired by internet porn use. Another big problem with the study: only a few sexual behaviors were assessed. If you looked at the headlines, it would be everything about teen behavior was assessed, but here's what was actually assessed. First of all, adventurous sex, and they only looked at, did people have experience with threesomes or with same-sex partners or with partners that they met online. Another category was partner experience, the age of your first intercourse. Okay. And the last one is transactional sex. That means, have you ever been paid for sex or have you paid for sex? That's it. Those are the behaviors that were assessed. Now, that leaves out a whole lot of behaviors, sexual behaviors, that were not assessed, such as some of the ones we hear about, like condom use. A lot of the guys complain that they have trouble using condoms because they're so desensitized to porn, it's hard to maintain an erection while they put a condom on. Another one, over 50%, and this is a survey on one of the large sites, over 50% of the guys complain that their sexual tastes have changed or they've developed fetishes due to porn. That wasn't assessed. And then, if we think about porn and how it can be rather aggressive or misogynistic, it did not really assess actual sexual encounters. Is there increased aggressive sex or maybe increased levels of anal sex or wanting to ejaculate on a partner's face or play out any of the endless hardcore scenarios that these young guys have grown up watching and think, this is normal, this is how it's done because I saw it in a video and the people were doing it, so this is the real deal. So these were not assessed. It's true. From all the feedback we get, some users do act out, inspired by porn, but those who act out really appear to be in the minority. Most users actually report that porn inhibits their sexual activity. So are we getting a distorted picture? Let's think about this. So if there are more users acting out at one end of the spectrum and a bunch of users inhibited at the other end, what's really going on? That's really hard or impossible to calculate. Is today's porn driving some people toward riskier behavior while shutting down others? I think that's possible. And are these two groups partially canceling each other out because they're at the opposite end of a bell curve in the study results? I think that's happening. The main problem here with porn is that it really can be affecting sexuality in so many ways other than what this study has described. Here's how I really see the study. First, only a few rare sexual activities were assessed, such as prostitution, group sex, same-sex partnering, and such. That's it. And porn did have an effect. Let's say that again. Porn did have an effect. It increased these activities, but so did other things. Now, that would make sense. Your childhood, your environment, pretty much everything else is going to affect your life and your sexual habits. So that just makes simple sense to me. So I think it's not really worthy of any headline at all. What the study did not look at was other behaviors or symptoms or anything else about these guys, these kids' lives. It did not look at addiction. It did not look at less sexual activity or less sexual desire. It did not look at sexual habits. It did not look at sexual dysfunctions. It did not look at many of the things that these guys complain about and the women complain about. We're getting more women these days, such as anxiety, depression, lethargy, brain fog, low motivation. So the headline says, porn is fine. It doesn't affect young people. Yet what it should say is, we have about 4 sexual activities, and yes, porn use increases them somewhat, but we don't know about anything else. That should be the headline. Incidentally, the data comes from 2008 and 2009, and things have moved along quite quickly. I mean, think back to 2008. I don't think smartphones were even invented or just barely around. Now every kid has one. So the world has changed considerably. I would like to move on to a second study by the same author and his group. This author, Hald, H-A-L-D, is having quite an influence on other studies. Back in 2008, he created an assessment test for porn use and how porn affects people. This assessment test is called the Pornography Consumption Effect Scale, or the PCES. And he had a study that came out in 2008, and the name of the study was Self-Perceived Effects of Pornography Consumption, where he created this questionnaire and put it out there. And now other researchers are using it to find out if there's any problem with pornography use in other populations. It's being used in the United States and probably in other countries. And what are the results? Well, they're finding that virtually no one has any problem with porn use. Isn't that interesting? Well, let's have a closer look at the actual study. First of all, the study, or this questionnaire that's being used by everyone, only measure what users themselves report. Remember, it's their own perception. In other words, they don't remove porn use and then really discover how it affects them. And in fact, that's the only way you can find out, is by removing the variable and seeing how your life is different. It doesn't compare users or their reports to non-users or ex-users. So what I'd like to do is start with the conclusions of the full study and then explain how they got there. So here's an actual, I'm going to have 3 parts to it. Here's the first sentence that is the actual conclusion. This study of self-perceived effects of hardcore pornography consumption found that both men and women generally reported small to moderate positive effects of hardcore pornography consumption and little, if any, negative effects of such consumption. End quote. Okay, so what's that saying? In other words, porn use is always beneficial, with few, if any, drawbacks. Seems a little suspicious. Let's move on to the next conclusion. After all the variables were entered into the equation, 3 sexual background variables made statistically significant contributions to the positive effects. Greater pornography consumption, more perceived realism of pornography, and higher frequency of masturbation. End quote. So that's the actual study. In other words, the 3 variables that are associated with the positive effects are the more pornography you use, the more real you believe the pornography is, and the more you masturbate it. All those are related to greater positive effects in every area of your life. In other words, if you are a 30-year-old shut-in who masturbates to hardcore porn 7 times a day, your life will be fantastically fulfilling. by the researchers' standards. And I'm not just making it up. Let's look at the final conclusion. The report of overall positive effects of consumption generally found to be strongly and positively correlated to a linear fashion, the amount of hardcore pornography consumed. In other words, the more hardcore pornography you consume, the greater the effects on your life. That is hard to believe. Now, we can't get into all the questions, but what they did is they had 47 questions. Some were negative effects, some were positive effects, and then they grouped them together, did the math, and they always came up with porn was more positive. In fact, let's look at a couple of questions. Here's one. This is a positive effect. Has porn added to your knowledge of anal sex? Well, if you're watching porn, your answer is going to be heck yes, and so you would get a high score on that, like 7, very much so. Here's another one. Has porn reduced your quality of life? Well, how are you going to answer to that? That's a negative question. Are you going to put a low score or a high score? Well, if porn is really exciting, you're going to put, no, it hasn't negatively affected my life. In other words, you're going to get positive scores for all the positive questions, and your negative scores are going to be very low, and you're always going to end up with a high score, and this is exactly correlated to the amount of porn use you have. The more porn use you have, the higher the score. This is Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. The show contains adult themes. I was discussing a few studies by a group, Danish group, and the name of the study I was looking at was Self-Perceived Effects of Pornography Consumption. What this study did is it created an assessment test that is being widely used now to find out if people have any problems with porn. The name of the assessment test is Pornography Consumption Effect Scale. And it's finding out that virtually no one, no matter how much porn they use, ends up with negative effects. And he discussed how the more porn you use, the more hardcore it is, the more gonzo it is, and the more you masturbate to it, and the more real you think it is, the better the overall effects. Now, this is not a bell curve. This is linear. This is like more, more, more equals better and better effects. So I guess if you used porn 10, 15 times a day and thought it was real, you'd end up as a Superman, according to this study. This is just amazing. I'm so shocked. But let's actually look closer at the study, because that seems a little suspicious, that someone sitting in their basement using porn day and night and never getting out would be just fantastically happy and porn wouldn't have any negative effects. So here's some of the questions they actually use. So here's how they do the questionnaire. They have 47 questions. Interesting enough, 27, the majority of them, are positive. The other 20 are negative. So they have two categories, positive and negative, and then you give them a scale. So the scale is 1, which means not at all. This question does not apply at all. Or 7, very, very much so, strongly agree. So let's look at a few of the positive questions. And these are considered positive by the actual researchers. First one, has porn added to your knowledge of anal sex? So if you use a lot of porn, clearly you have knowledge of that. And so you'd say, heck yes, and you'd give it a 7. Here's another one. Has porn positively affected your view on the opposite gender? Well, sure, it would, because they love porn stars, so they'd probably give that a 7. Another positive question. Overall, has porn been a positive supplement to your sex life? Sure, I never masturbate without it. So you give that a 7. Here's another one. Has porn made you more sexually liberal? Well, of course it does. So I'd give that a 7. And on and on. So you can see that a lot of the questions really are geared towards, if you use porn, you're always going to get a 7. That's going to be very high on the positive, and it's going to be hard to bring the positive down. Let's look at a few of the 20 negative questions. Here's one, for example. Has porn made you less tolerant towards sex? Of course, you're going to say no, and you'd give that a 1. Has porn reduced your quality of life? Well, has it? I mean, the guy, I can't imagine being without porn. I love porn, so they're going to say no. They're going to give that a 1. That's not going to be a negative effect. Here's another one. Has porn led to problems in your sex life? Well, if you're a virgin, you would never know, so you're going to give it a 1. In fact, you get more excited using porn, so no, it's very positive. It's the most positive aspect of my entire sex life. Here's another one. Has porn given you performance anxiety when you are sexually active on your own? Example, masturbation. How can you have performance anxiety by yourself? I don't even understand that question. But anyhow, so these questions are set up to get the results, which I talked about earlier, that porn is always positive, that is linearly positive, that the more you use, the more it's real, and the more hardcore it is, it will always have positive effects. And now this test is being used as if it's a good thing. And all you see are headlines from this test in many other studies finding that, wow, we looked at a bunch of college-age kids, and we found that porn was fantastic. It makes their life great. It has no negative effects. And it'll be used again and again. And the more studies that it ends up in, the more it's used, it just becomes standard fare. And no one even looks at the questions. They just look at the abstract, they look at the headlines, and they accept it. And there it is, because this is a standard test. It's well accepted. And who is it well accepted by? It's accepted by those who are studying porn, who actually have perhaps a desire to find that porn only has positive effects. So if you sum up this, learning about anal sex is given equal weight to your general quality of life. Yes, in terms of a number scale, according to this questionnaire, that your general quality of life and your relationships can be really, really bad, but they can be offset about learning about anal sex, oral sex, and other types of sex, completely offset. So that's really disturbing. So as I said, to sum it up, you could be a 30-year-old virgin living in your mother's basement watching porn for hours a day, and this test, the PCES, would find that porn use has had nothing but fantastic positive effects on your life. The point is that journalists just suck up the headlines without looking any deeper. It would be really good to have a team of researchers and statisticians and people looking at this to review these fishy studies. In fact, we gave this study to a couple of experts, PhDs, who that's their job. They look at studies to see if they're valid, and they said that this study was a psychometric nightmare, completely invalid, and yet it is now popularly used. So I like to just sum up, if headlines seem a bit fishy on these porn studies, there probably is a reason. We need to look deeper into these studies and look at what they're actually measuring, what the questions are, to find out what's truly going on. So you've been listening to Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. Thanks for listening.